In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I doubt that the book of Leviticus has ever been considered one of the three favorite books of the Bible among Lutherans. And probably that's been the case for 500 years. As Lutherans who have been trained to sniff out works righteousness wherever we find it, Leviticus would seem to be a prime target as the number one book to avoid. After all, what book seems more filled with legalistic commands and regulations one after another? And even our text, no, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Do a Bible study on that week after week, it might get a little oppressive or depressing. After all, the law always accuses. But of all these commands, the one that really stands out is the unequivocal and unambiguous declaration by God, be holy as I am holy. Now think about it. That has to be more than a little intimidating. It raises the bar just a little bit, doesn't it? Be holy like God is holy. Is that really fair? After all, God's the creator. We're simply creatures. And yet, to be holy as I am holy does carry echoes, I think, of the original creation. For though we are creatures who were made in the image and likeness of God. So it's not unfair. God is saying, be what I created you to be. In any event, isn't the command already a moot point? We have lost not only the holiness in which we were originally created, we have lost any ability to achieve, let alone recover that holiness. So how can there be any hope that we could ever be holy like God? Well, here Luther in the 16th century can provide some insight and guidance for us. Luther speaks of how the Holy Spirit makes us holy in two ways in the Large Catechism. First, in the early part of the third article, Luther notes, to be made holy is to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive his blessing. All holiness comes from God, even as all life comes from God. God has made us in his image, and now he restores that image and makes us holy again. And God alone makes us holy. But the holiness by which God makes you and me holy was achieved by Christ, and Christ alone, through his life, his death, for you and for me. That holiness achieved by Christ is now delivered to you and me in the Word, in whatever form that Word takes shape. Thus the Large Catechism notes, over and against the so-called holy things of the day, like the relics of the saints, the Word of God is the true holy thing that makes all things holy. Today, that Word that makes us holy comes in a unique, special, and personal way in the body and blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. But secondly, Luther also talks later in the third article about how the Spirit creates and increases holiness, causing it daily to grow and become strong in the faith and in its fruits. And it was the gift of Christ's righteousness received by faith bears fruit of holiness in our everyday life. Well, what does that look like? Well, that brings us back to Leviticus and all of these commands. Here, I would like to return to my earlier suggestion that the language of holiness carries echoes of our original creation in which we were made in the image and likeness of God. That is to say, we were created to reflect God's own activity and work for his entire creation. Now, why go there? Why do I go there? Well, perhaps one of the reasons we view Leviticus with less enthusiasm than other books besides its legal character is that many of its regulations seem to be rather heteronomously imposed. That is, they're imposed simply because I say so, because God says so. I'm the Lord. Now, that is certainly true. But they may seem to lack at times any rhyme or reason or perhaps even relevance for us today, like the thing about the vineyards and the gleanings from the fields. Now, coming back, God is creator, redeemer, and Lord of creation. The gracious reign of God provides a larger context. We're seeing that these commands are aimed at protecting and preserving the welfare of God's human creatures and the well-being of the wider creation. God cares for such things. So verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field to the edge, nor gather the gleanings after the harvest, nor strip the vineyards bare or gather fallen grapes. Now, doesn't that seem rather economically inefficient? Why do that? Well, by such practices, God and his people provide some sustenance for the hungry and the homeless, and in some years, even for the beasts of the field. In other words, the commands protect and preserve the orders and harmony that God had created, and they serve the well-being of creation. So to be holy, to image God, to reflect God's reign, is to be concerned about such things. And that brings us back to being holy as God is holy. For first, Christ has given us the righteousness of his perfect obedience in life and death. He made us God's holy people. That's the key to everything. But second, as God's holy people in Christ, we can now see the world in a new light. We can see what God is up to in this world, even with his commands. For we have been given new eyes to see such things, and thus the ability to live accordingly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.